We're in the Capitol today. We're going to visit with Colin Peterson, chair of the House Agriculture Committee. Chairman Peterson, we appreciate you taking the time to visit with us today. And a few things I wanted to talk to you about. Of course, yesterday, the president officially released his fiscal year 2011 budget recommendations. And I wanted to get your reaction to that, first of all.
Well, some of it I don't have a problem with. As it, you know, relates to agriculture, I guess I don't know if you mean the whole overall budget. The overall budget that he put out, I don't agree with, because you know, there's some things that move in the right direction, but they're going to eliminate some of the tax cuts that fire, and you know, which in my opinion should reduce the deficit, and not we should not spend more money. And there's a lot more spending in this budget, and I don't think we can afford it. So I don't agree with that. In terms of agriculture, my vision is to maintain the baseline as we move towards the next farm bill. So we will not be asking for any new money. We will live with the money we have. And if everybody did that, if Medicare didn't go up at 10-15% a year and some of these other entitlement programs, we wouldn't be in the mess that we're in. So, you know, we took a, because of what happened with the baseline before the O2 bill, we actually reduced agriculture spending in terms of farmers. There was increases because of nutrition, food stamps, which have gone up even more because of the recession. You know, and I think there's going to be plenty of money in the nutrition area because of the increase that's happened here. And on the rest of it, we're going to live within what the baseline is. So I don't agree with them trying to open up the farm bill. We dealt with payment limits. It was a very contentious fight. We settled that in the farm bill. There is no interest in opening that up again. This was in the last budget as well, was not picked up. I don't think it'll be seriously considered in the budget that it's put together in the House. Some of the other small programs are terminating and reducing, you know, will cause some concern in certain segments, but, you know, we'll see what happens with that. You know, I could live with those changes probably. The other issue that's going to be contentious is the crop insurance. We asked the department to do a new SRA in the Farm Bill 3 years early, basically. And so they put their proposal together. There's a response going on now and some kind of a negotiation going on in that regard. They have put in the budget the savings that would be generated by what the first proposal was that they put out. I don't believe that will be the final proposal. I never envisioned that they would take $4 billion more out of crop insurance and take it out of our baseline when they did this SRA. What I was more focused on was trying to get at some of the regional imbalances in terms of profitability for companies and agents and so forth, and some of that is in this proposal that they put forward. So some of it I agree with, but I don't agree with them taking the money out of the baseline. So I don't think that's going to be in the final budget in the House either. We took a significant amount out of crop insurance in the 08 bill. We still haven't seen that sort through the system to see where we're at, so I don't think it's appropriate for us to take more out of the system. So you know, like most presidents' budgets, some things will get picked up, a lot of things won't. We will do our own budget in the House. They'll do their budget in the Senate. There'll be conference committee, and they'll work it out. End of the day, I don't think you're going to see much impact in the ag area.
So as far as cuts in payment limits to farmers, you don't see anything changing?
No. The minute we open up any part of this farm bill, then it ignites all of the conflicts, and we're back to basically rewriting the farm bill. So nobody wants to do that. We had a difficult enough time getting the bill done the way it was. So I don't think there's stomach on our side, leadership, to get into that. I've talked to Mr. Spratt. He's very much with me and not wanting to open up the farm bill. And so I think it, and it's small potatoes, and you know, in the big scheme of things, you know. So I don't think you're going to see much happen at the end of the day.
You have announced plans to begin hearings this spring on the next farm bill, 2012 farm bill, and a lot of talk about the safety net programs and where do we go from here?
Well, I don't think anybody knows at this point. We're going to have hearings and have people talk to us about what they think we did right, you know, in the farm bill, what they think we could have improved on or could improve on. In respect to corn growers, they were the group that was really behind the revenue idea, the acre program. You know, we made it too complicated because of budget considerations and so forth, in my opinion, and then this department made it even more complicated. So that was part of the reason why we didn't get a big sign-up in the acre program. There's other reasons as well. But I'm very interested in talking to the corn growers about, their views on the acre program and what happened there. And are they interested in moving forward in that direction, in having a revenue kind of safety net as opposed to the traditional safety net? And, and we'll have to talk to all of the commodities about that, you know. Are they happy with the way the system works now? Do they think there's some better way to provide a safety net for people? So one of the reasons I want to start early is to get that dialogue going, get them talking within their groups, about how we should move forward. Is there a better way to do things, given the amount of money that we have? And as I said, we're not going to ask for more money. We have to live within the money we have. Is there a better way to spend that money? Could we spend it a different way and give the farmers a better safety net? And I think it's incumbent upon us to explore that. And I'm not saying we don't know at this point whether anything will come out of it or not, but I think we need to look at it.
I want to visit with you about climate change legislation. Of course, you were instrumental in getting several concessions for agriculture in the climate change bill that eventually passed through the House. You were recently quoted as saying that you're not sure you'd vote for that bill if it came back again.
Well, I said that at the time. I said that I only voted for this bill because to move the process along. I said that if this bill at that time was going to become law, I would vote no. This is not anything new. This is what I said at the time. I had a list of things that I put together with the agriculture groups that they felt they needed in this bill to make it anywhere near palatable. We didn't think we were going to get those provisions. We spent 3 or 4 weeks talking to the staff of the Energy and Commerce Committee, Mr. Waxman and others. And at the end of the day, they didn't have the votes to move the bill along unless they made the changes. So at the end, they gave in to everything I asked for. And, you know, then at that point, I mean, I would look pretty disingenuous if I said, well, you gave me everything I want, so now I'm going to vote no. So I supported the bill. But I'll have to say that even with the changes that I was able to get in there, getting the EPA out of our business and getting a system that's controlled by the Department of Agriculture and things that I think were important, this has not gone over in farm country. They do not, even with the changes, they do not support this. They're much more concerned about the potential increase in costs than they are any kind of opportunity that may or may not come out because of, you know, some offset program or whatever. So that's why I believe one of the reasons why this is not going any place in the Senate. You know, the Senate, every senator has agriculture, every senator has rural areas, They have not bought into this. And so, you know, until we can get a bigger consensus in the country, I don't think we should be moving ahead with this. You know, I think we should instead focus on, you know, becoming energy independent, and which is what people want. You know, focus on nuclear energy and natural gas and biofuels and, you know, wind, and, you know, maybe do something on the electricity standard, which we've done in Minnesota already. So I think we should pass a bill like that, and, you know, then see what transpires in the world, and what the attitudes of people are in the next Congress, you know, as to where we should move ahead with that. But this is clearly not something that's supported by agriculture pretty much across the board.
The administration is still indicating they believe cap and trade is a possibility. Is it dead?
I don't think there's any chance in this Congress. I mean, we got health care on life support, which is a bigger priority for them, I think, than cap and trade is. We need to get this financial regulation stuff done. The House has done their work, but the Senate hasn't. You got everybody wanting to do something about jobs. So I just don't see in the Senate that there's a place in their agenda to seriously deal with this. I mean, it's like the happy talk that goes on in the trade negotiations, where they're always saying, oh, they're optimistic, you know, but nothing ever happens because there really isn't much reason for optimism.
A lot of concern in the country, as I'm sure you hear as well, about the EPA and some of the rules, regulations that they are proposing.
Yeah, it's it's a big problem in terms of us becoming energy independent. You got people in the EPA, people in the environmental community, that are more interested in prescribing how you should do stuff or what should be in a fuel than they are actually producing anything. And they're making it almost impossible for us to develop alternatives, because unless you do it in a politically correct way, you know, that some scientist or guru or whatever environmentalist thinks ideologically should happen, they throw up roadblocks, you know. And so we've had a struggle with this RFS2 rule, apparently coming out tomorrow. From what I'm understanding, I think we're going to get a rule that we can live with, but it's not going to be something we're necessarily happy with, but it could have been a lot worse. We have the issue of, you know, them making the proclamation that they have to regulate greenhouse gases, and absent legislative action, they're going to do it with the Clean Air Act, which would be a disaster. So I'm supporting, you know, basically stopping them from doing this, as are a lot of other people. If they won't back off, you know, maybe we have to try to back them off. But, you know, we need to get some of this ideology out of this. I mean, Europe has not developed any kind of biofuel industry. And this, I think, is what is telling. The reason, in my opinion, is because when I've been over there, they talk about biofuels and how they want to do it, but their number one priority is sustainability. So instead of focusing on the economics and focusing on, you know, figuring out how to do this, they spend all their time trying to figure out what's sustainable, you know, and which is subjective for, you know, a lot of people. So they haven't even gotten any place, and we're in a danger of falling into that trap as well. I mean, if they would have, if the attitude would have been out there that when we were developing the ethanol industry that the first priority was sustainability, it would have never happened. You know, you got to make the economics happen before you can get into all this other stuff.